please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 692. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by my lovely co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This streams sometimes at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup, yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Open a new window. It is Wednesday, October 26th, 2022. On the show today, we have Salvage Vanguard's Theater's Costa, and later on, we'll be talking to someone from Broadway Across America's production of Chicago. And of course, Nicole and I will have lively and witty discussions of the world of theater around the country, Austin, and points south. Okay. We have problems right here in River City.
I was like, problems?
We have problems right here in River City because that was the wrong song.
That's okay. And it was still a good song.
Yeah,
it was still a show tune.
It was from a few.
So we're in the genre. At least we went there.
It was from a few weeks ago, and
that's what we're playing.
Yeah, and I'm gonna just, because we like to show how the sausage was made here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask one of our guests to go out and grab my purse, which I think I left out in the lobby.
Oh, and it may have the goods in there.
It might have the good one in there.
It's like Mary Poppins live on air.
And in the meantime, I'm going to say hello to Nicole Shiro. Hi,
hello,
Nicole Shiro.
Lisa Sheps. How are you?
Good, thank you. It is so good to see you. It's so good to be back here.
It's so good to see you. I see you voted.
I did. I voted.
You have lots of stickers, and that new one is cool.
It's so important. Yeah, it's the new one. I'll show it to the audience.
It's got a blue bonnet on it.
It's got a blue bonnet. You know why? Because everything's better with blue bonnet on it.
Yeah. You
see
should trademark
did there?
That, Lisa. You
see
better trademark that
so
now before no one
else
gets it.
Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with
purse
us.
Purse on the floor means money out the door. Don't do that.
Okay, never heard that before, but that's good. So
see, everyone else is shaking their head agreeing with me.
Never heard it.
Mm-hmm. My mom said that.
Yeah. It's the one weird superstition that it's like, I can't not. I'm like, no,
well, that explains my bank account. So let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. Jenny Larson Quijones, welcome.
Hello.
And Kati Q, welcome.
Hi.
I voted. Everybody, so you don't have to worry about having to listen to last week's show. I believe I found the correct music. So the show going forward, we'll have the correct piece of music.
What were we going to hear but didn't hear?
It was the acceptance song from the Broadway musical, The Prom.
Oh, what's a good one.
Yeah,
well, you know what? We'll put it into rotation here shortly again.
Well, we
soon.
Will. But do you know why I played that piece of music? Was going to play that piece of music?
Because you accept me? Oh my goodness, Butterfingers, what's going on over there?
It is a little bit of Keystone Cops over here.
Who won, the chair or you?
I think the chair probably won. But there's a high school in your home state of New Jersey.
Yes.
That was going to do a production of The Prom, and the school district said, no, questionable material.
Really?
Yeah. It was
where in New Jersey?
Specifically, it was canceled the production due to community concerns about inappropriate content. And it is in, where'd it go? Cedar Grove High School.
I thought you were going to say it was some like private, you know, religious school, but apparently not.
No, and I don't know what school it's in, but they're doing it again. So that's the good news. But presumably the only reason why they're doing it again is there is now, and there wasn't when they originally got the rights, a high school version Of the prom. And you know, when there are high school versions, if you've ever seen the high school version of Rent, it's still a racy
show. I was just about to say, it's still just, I don't really know where they get that goes, okay, you take that out, it makes it better. I don't get the whole
line. They get rid of the F-bombs, basically, is what they do. And in the case of Rent, they didn't do the one really racy number. I forgot which one, what it is.
Contact.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is back, but of course there's big Michigas. And the students themselves actually chose the musical, and then there was some social media backlash about it. Somebody went on, one of the former students went on and said, "Everybody come to the school board," but then the school board came. But it just amazes me because the prom is, I mean, when you look at the prom, the only thing questionable about it is,
what's so controversial?
It's a true story of two girls that want to go to the prom together. That's the controversial part of the thing. It's really sad.
That sounds controversial.
You know, Prince sang a song about that. It was called Controversy.
Who did?
Prince. Oh. I miss that little man so much. Oh. I have had, I don't know why this week in particular I have. Sorry, that's my personal thing.
There you go. Well, I know.
Miss Art Prince this
a
week?
Lot. A lot. I miss him all the time, but like I'm getting me teary eyed again. A lot. He was a talent. This world. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't be sorry.
Anyway. But we did have a Broadway opening.
We did.
Top Dog, Underdog. It was a revival.
Yes. Susan Laurie Parks.
Susan Laurie Parks. The Did They Like It aggregator gave 14 thumbs up and one mixed review. So sounds like they like it. And it's about two brothers that parents named one of them Lincoln and the other one Booth. It was actually done here not too long ago, probably about 10, 15 years ago with... oh my God, I can't remember his name now either. Anyway. Those two.
Yeah, maybe it'll
Jarrett,
come to me.
Jarrett.
David Jarrett?
No.
David
Jarrett.
I was all like, David Jarrett. That's where I was all like.
Matt Frazier and Jarrett King.
There you were.
And
there you go.
That, Zach Scott did a version, so we've seen it a couple times.
Who did a version?
Zach Scott.
Zach Scott. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can I ask you to get that microphone just a little closer to you so we can
Absolutely.
Hear you?
Absolutely.
You
want to pull it this way, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. So this it won the Pulitzer in 2002. This just got raves across the board. So,
I like the Susan Laurie Parks.
This was directed by Ken Leon, and Corey Hawkins played Lincoln, and, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II played Booth. And just good things all around. I have never seen, I didn't see it when it was done here. And I do remember B. Iden Payne's that year. Top Dog, Underdog, Top Dog, Underdog, Top Dog, Underdog. Do you remember who produced what production company
I know
put it together?
At the time, Jarrett and Matt were actually going to start their own production company.
I think it was.
And they did it in the studio at Salvage Vanguard,
That's right. Thank you. Yeah. Now it's all...
Salvage Vanguard Theater, which at that
on
point
Maynard.
You were running it on
That's
Maynard.
Right.
Which they tried to do at the B.I. And we're going to talk about this during our local section, but the B.I. and Payne Awards were just last Monday night, and they tried to do an in memoriam of, amongst other things, Salvage Vanguard. But they didn't... they had some technical issues, and we didn't get to see it. So, Jesse... I just lost his name. Boy, I just need to find I need that fountain of youth so I get my memory back.
I told you, 18 in the head. The body's saying something else.
Jesse Green loved it. Other critics, Brittany Samuels from Broadway News said...
Every time you start to say Brittany, I always think you want to say Britney Spears, and I'm like, when did she become reviewing theater?
That'd be cool.
Would be, you know what? It'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brittany Samuels of Broadway News said, under the expert direction of Kenny Leon, the actors have made delicious... Oh, my God. My phone's ringing. I don't even know where it is. Anyway, you know what? Let's just say that they all liked it.
They did. I mean, you had almost... It was a pretty clean sweep on
they
that
all liked
one.
It. Yeah. And it's something that I would really like to see. And one day I will. There was a little controversy in the theater world this week. The infamous Garth Dabrinsky.
I was surprised by him smooth, but then again, not.
Well, he's always been a problem child. He's suing Actors Equity Association for defamation of character. But one thing to know about Dabrinsky is he was the producer of Paradise Square. And it closed in theory without paying many of its actors.
I was like, without paying people.
Wow. Yeah.
And he has been gone to jail beforehand for right. some he was more con- producing.
He was convicted of fraud and forgery in 2009 in Canada. And he spent 17 months in prison.
Yes.
This was his
comeback. I'm going to do good. And he right. on Paradise Square, and that didn't end so well. And now he's... Now he's suing.
Anyway, the suit alleges that without any evidentiary hearing or his ability to disprove the malicious and false accusations against him, Actors Equity went one step further by publicly branding Dabrinsky with its scarlet letter and placing him on the self-proclaimed blacklist.
They did put out a statement that they're blacklisting him.
Well, they didn't say blacklisting, so they did. There is a list called the Do Not Work List.
Yes,
and they were put him on that list. I side with Equity on this one. You don't hear me say that very often.
No, I was surprised. Like, really, dude? And then I was like, well, let's look at your whole. I'm not surprised, but I was surprised. It was one of those.
Yep.
Like, really?
So we just need to talk about that thing that I know you want to talk about, which is going back in time.
I was like, gotta go back in time. Dun, dun, dun. Are you talking about Back to the Future, the musical? Because they announced when it's opening.
2023 at the Winter June Garden
30th,
Theater.
Preview start. August 3rd, it opens.
Okay.
Roger Bart is coming over, and he's going to play Doc Brown again from West End. George McFly. Hopefully we'll get Ollie, because they haven't announced Marty. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
My Lord. Well, yeah, clearly you did all that without looking at notes. I could not...
No.
I could not get that specific without having something in front
because
of me.
Because we were laughing today that I haven't been... Like, I haven't stalked or followed a musical since, like, Hadestown like this, and since, like, The Puppet of Kong. Like, I didn't care about the show.
So who's directing?
I don't care. I don't know. I don't know.
It's John Rando.
Thank you. I couldn't remember. I do care.
And it's got music and lyrics by Glenn Ballard and Alan Silvestri. The book is by Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis, who wrote the movie.
Yes.
So
listen, I made fun of this for so long. Like, why would you even do it? And I have eaten my words. I was getting ready to go to London. I'm so excited.
Right. So it actually is, I believe, Olivier Award winner in London.
It is. It won a lot.
And so it did really well. So I'm glad for your sake that it's coming here in 2023. I'm looking forward to our field trip to the Winter Garden Theater.
Well, you're coming because it's like my whole family called. They're like, it's like a birthday gift for all of us because all of our birthdays fall like starting June 25th all the way to like August 14th. Okay. And I was like, I knew.
All right. Well, we are running out of time.
So your family field tripping.
Okay, so we're still running out of time. I have a couple things I do need to talk about before we take a break and talk about our first show. Who are you wearing today? Because that looks like an Isaac Mizrahi.
It's not. It's the Parker House in New Jersey.
Well,
Isaac, you said that because he's coming.
He's coming to a little show called Chicago.
He is. I think
so. We're doing a call forward at this point.
So. He has performed before.
He has. He's got he's got a monthly show at the Carlisle.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I was like, that's his jam. He's not just a fashion designer.
Sorry, not monthly, an annual. He's a yearly residency at the Cafe Carlisle. And he's played Joe's Club, the Regency Ballroom, amongst other places. And I don't really think of him as a performer.
No, because he's a fashion designer.
Mm-hmm. He is a fashion designer. But I have seen him. He did,
and an icon.
There was something... And an icon. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. There's a particular Broadway podcast I listen to every day, and they overuse the word icon. like everybody is an icon, and everybody can't be an icon.
No,
I'm
I didn't say he was a Broadway icon. He is an icon.
I'm not.
But I know where you're. I agree with what you're saying on that other.
Anyway, so Mizrahi's going to play Mr. Cellophane.
Which was originally the Jerry Orbach we've been talking about.
Was he in the original? Okay, so the flop original versus the one that's been playing for 30 years.
Yes, now. The one with Gwen Verdon back in the day. Yeah. The original.
Didn't
original.
Do well.
He was the Mr. Cellophane, the Mr. Orbach.
Okay.
Another great reason to love the Jerry.
He's doing a three-week stint at the Ambassador from November 7th through the 26th.
That's very exciting. I'm happy for him. Not a role I would have seen him taking, but I think
I was surprised.
Great.
I was assuming he was going to be the lawyer.
Billy Flynn. Yeah,
Billy Flynn. Okay. So
exciting.
The last thing I want to talk about before we go to break. Well, first of all, just very quickly, and their obituaries are on... you can see it by going to offstageonair.com. Julie Hughes, who's going to mean nothing to a lot of people, but she was a casting director, and she was a casting director of the show that I did on Broadway. She had a company called Hughes Moss Casting, and both Julie Hughes and Barry Moss are now both passed away. She just passed away from a long illness. And we just have to mention Leslie Jordan. He wasn't really known for stage. He did some stage. He had a one-man show.
That was upsetting.
Very upsetting. Died in a car accident. So he will be missed. So you can see there.
We also lost Carly Simon's sister, who was a songwriter. She lost her other sister a few days later.
Two sisters in one week. And I forgot her first name, but she was a composer of Broadway musicals. We also just lost a director of...
He was 98, this one, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, he was involved with both versions of Pippin, the original and the revival.
Yes. Oh, his name slips me, but yes.
Anyway, so RIP with that. And the last thing I'm sort of excited, and it goes along with, I should have mentioned it right after Back to the Future, because it deals a lot with a lot of technology. But Life of Pi is coming to Broadway.
Another one that looks fascinating. And beautiful, and I'm so excited about the
tiger
transfer.
Is a puppet.
So cool.
Controlled
looking.
By seven people.
Again.
You know it's going to be amazing.
Yep. That's my other fascination after Back to the Future, so I'm very excited.
Is what? Oh, the...
The Life of Pi. Pi. Okay. Have you read the book? It's so good.
I didn't read the book.
But you watch a movie. Yeah, read the book, Lisa. I think you'll like it.
Okay. So I always use, just any excuse to play songs from Oh Brother, which was a Broadway show that I was in that Julie Hughes casted. And this is Joe Morton, Papa Pope.
I was like, Papa Pope.
Playing My Whole World's Coming Unwrapped. We'll be right back.
All I've been getting's 9 to 5. Turkey talking.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
We've been talking to Jenny Larson-Quiñones and Kati Q.
Hello.
And now we're going to officially announce you again. We're just going to continue to
dun,
say your name.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, I am not sure what you've been taking today, but it's crazy.
Share.
I like it.
Nothing.
Share around.
I give you my crazy.
Thank you. I'll take it.
So we are talking about Salvage Vanguard's production of Costa playing right now at the Blanton Museum. And we have Jenny Larson, the co-directors of this, Jenny Larson-Quiñones.
Yes.
And Kati Q. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
I saw this last week and just loved it. It was just a wonderful experience all around. The story was amazing. The staging was amazing. The actors were amazing. And the environment in which you showed it at the Blanton was really wonderful. But this show has a long history. So could either one of you talk about what it is and its road to where we are right now?
Yeah. So... this is Jenny. And when Adrian and I were, we met as kids, really, actually.
I should say Adrian Dawes.
Adrian Dawes,
the playwright
of Costa. And I have known each other really since we were kids and have been making theater together since really we were kids. And one time when we were roommates, she brought home a book that had a Costa painting. on it, and she's been retelling this story as we've been talking about the play recently. It was a book of poems, and that led her down this research rabbit hole, and she said, I want to do a play inspired by these castas. And I was the artistic director of Salvage at the time, so I said, okay, well, let's make it happen. These are your dates. We've got a budget. Let's cast it. Let's do it. And that was in 2016. And at that time, she really jumped into research, and I was researching with her. So we were swapping books and just sort of immersing ourselves in the history. So casta paintings are a racist hierarchy that the Spanish elite created in the 1700s to sort of just try to keep people in their place. And these historical paintings are actually on display at the Blanton, and we are performing in the atrium just adjacent to them. And early in our explorations with this play, Adrian and I talked about wanting to perform adjacent to these paintings, so we feel incredibly lucky that it's
full
happening.
Circle, like,
yeah. That's and we've really been magical. Having a workshop a year or two workshops a year through 2019. And then, you know, something happened in 2020.
What happened?
And we actually were just really sort of surprised that we were able to do it and it came back. And I was living in Vancouver when we were still in conversations with Blanton. And I was like, really? It's going to happen? And yeah, and here we are now.
Now, is it coincidental isn't the right word, but was Blanton always, was it always their intention to have this, the Costa...
No, actually.
Things there, or was it as a... As
it
a,
was because of the play.
Because
so,
of this? That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's the answer I wanted to hear.
This wasn't something they already had in their...
So in 2018, I emailed them because I was like, you know what? It can't hurt to ask. And so I emailed, and it's just very lucky that that email ended up on the desk of Rosario Granados, who is the curator of the exhibit at the Blanton, the painted cloth exhibit. And she read the script, read my email, came to workshops, was very passionate, and added castas to her exhibit. She was, because she was so inspired. And not only did she add castas to the exhibit, but they also borrowed pieces from international museums, which the Blanton has never done before.
Oh.
So this collaboration not only changed the exhibit, but it changed how the Blanton does work, which is sort of incredible.
That's so exciting.
It's so exciting.
Wow, and that also gives the piece the open door to carry on with legs internationally.
Yeah.
So the costas no matter where, idea. Right?
Right.
I'm putting it out there.
Thank you.
I am manifesting over here.
So as we look at the pieces in the play, I was not able to go see the exhibit. I had to scoot along. But it was always two people that came together to create a third person. Mm-hmm. And of varying combinations of skin color, if you will. Mm-hmm. Is that the definition of a casta?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Yes,
okay.
It's categorizing people or people's offspring.
Right, but they're offspring.
Yeah.
Right, so you could take a white Spaniard and that person has sex with a black native...
And
or an indigenous and a
mulatto,
right?
And then we have, they created all these words that some of them we still hear today,
right?
It's pretty bad,
it's pretty amazing. But I love the way that you all did it. You use a lot of puppetry, and usually the offspring is the puppet. You use the same, I didn't count, but 6 or 7 actors to perform various. I think there was only one actor that played only one role.
Yeah, ensemble of 8, and Noel Gowland plays the painter, but the other 7 all play multiple roles and puppets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the puppetry
is so
cool.
It's like art with art within art, like. You really can check all your art boxes.
And there's a song.
Yeah, within art. That's like, I love that.
And the props are actually also felt sculptures by a local sculpture artist named April Garcia. So there really is art within art within art.
And I should say that that's actually cool. One of the things that I really loved about it. And when some of the props, like I'll just, the one I think of right off the top of my hand is a violin. And you could have easily gotten a wooden violin to use as a prop. But no, this is this beautiful sculpted soft piece, including the bow. And so all of your props are that way. And and because this is done out in the open, in the round, we as the audience see the props. You see the prop tables on all four corners. It's just a lot of fun. And Kati, you're in it.
Yes.
Probably. I'm going to just say you probably play one of the more beloved characters, at least in my experience.
La Macho.
Who makes multiple appearances throughout the piece.
Yes. I start as a 4-year-old, then a teenager, and then, you know, maybe 40, 50-year-old.
How fun is that to play that?
So much fun. It's a character that Adrian created with a couple of real-life people in mind. One of them, Gregoria Piedra, that were arrested for dressing, women arrested for dressing like men, or playing pelota like men, or, you know, just trying to live their life like men. So it's a character near and dear to my heart.
It's quite fun. Now, let's talk about your dual roles as co-directors. How has that been? Have y'all been throughout? Because when you look at the history of this piece, there's a lots of workshops and lots of different productions. Have y'all been through this, all of you? Jenny, I assume you've been through it with the beginning. Have you,
yeah,
Kati?
Yeah, and Kati too.
I was an actor in almost every single one of the last workshops, except for one.
Yep.
And then...
And I directed all of the SVT produced workshops and one workshop that happened in New York City because it was for an artist residency that I received from the Drama League. But Kati and I started creating our own work under the name JKJK we actually toured our first piece together in 2017 to Finland.
Right. Mm.
So I think that's when we really started, but we worked together and we've been making plays together. And even though I'll take the director name, especially if Kati is acting, it's very collaborative. So when it came to Casta, because I am not fluent in Espanol, I wanted to have a teammate whose identity was a match for this piece, as well as having the fluent Espanol.
And guess what? Yeah. We work well together.
Yeah, I was about to say, you seem to have a great synergy. So.
Doesn't surprise me. I will say that I'm glad you brought that up, Jenny. But I went to see the show with my friend Tony Knight, who is a native Spanish speaker. And there is a lot of Spanish in this. And she looked to me, and I have a working knowledge of Spanish. And she said, I'm so sorry you can't understand a lot of this. I said, I get it totally.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, yes. I get it totally. If not word for word, if not, I couldn't tell you the details, but I know the
you could
context
summarize exactly what was happening.
And I love it. I love that approach to language.
Me too.
In that it's my fault I don't know Spanish, not yours. So therefore, as long as I can get it, I love that you're not... pandering to a non-Spanish speaking audience. So,
and you know,
mazel
to
tov.
Add to that, the cast is various degrees of fluency, and there's various degrees of fluency within the Latinidad community, and I feel like it's important to honor that. And
this play takes place in Mexico. Let's speak some Spanish.
Oh, for some reason I thought it took place in Spain.
It's called Nueva España, which
is
the old
Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay,
New
there
Spain.
You go.
Spain. It was New Spain.
Yes.
Well, we're like plumb out of time, but it's playing at the Blanton. How much longer do you play?
Till Sunday, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
Where can folks go to get more information?
SalvageVanguard.org.
Wonderful.
Or Blanton.org.
Or Blanton. Yeah. Or Google it, Casta. That's how I found it, too.
Google works really good.
Yeah. Google it. Well, thank you. Oh, just very quickly, and we really only have a minute. We just didn't get... We talked about this on the show, but Jenny, you are the new artistic director over at Trinity Street Theater.
That's correct.
Dun, dun, yes. Dun.
Congratulations.
To be back in town.
That's amazing. Congratulations for that. And what a lovely space. And I can't think of a better person for the role than you right now for
Thanks so much for that place.
Do you have any? Do you have any special plans that you want to share, as long as you do it quickly?
Oh, man, I know we only have 1 minute. Well, I'll just say that there's another JKJK collaboration is going to be my first full big production in 2023.
Ooh.
And it's our piece called Desperately Seeking Comfortable Shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the story of my life.
I feel like everyone kind of like relates to that title.
Lisa, we're going to go and find out it's all about us.
It is. Well, thank y'all for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
And I look
so
forward to having you back. Welcome back to Austin as well.
Yes.
Glad to have you.
Nice to be back.
Wonderful. So that was Jenny Larson-Kionis and Kati Q of Salvage Vanguard's production of the Costa Plane at the Blanton Museum through the 30th. More information, salvagevanguard.org. And actually coming up with a piece of music was difficult, but I found, I like this. This is from a show called Cali's Mashup La Musica, and it's called Two Worlds Collide. So
I thought that's perfect.
Yeah, I kind of do. Here it is.
Nice.
I'm feeling caught.
We are back. You're listening to Lisa and Nicole on KOOP.
Hello.
Hello.
It's been a great day today.
It has been. We've had a lot of fun. The fun continues.
It does.
Because, you know, the Broadway tour of Chicago is coming to the Bass Concert Hall.
I know, and you know those are my composers. Soon. I just love those.
Those
cats.
Are your composers. That you own them.
And I then, own
you
know, them.
And as we talked about earlier, that...
Isaac
Mizrahi is going into the Broadway show. So lots of Chicago news. And we are really fortunate to have the very Roxy Hart that's going to be playing here.
Dun, 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 dun.
Katie Frieden. Hi, Katie. You there?
Hi, I'm
here.
Yay,
you're there. Well, you know, when we do these phone interviews, it's always like, are they going to be there when we say hello or not? So you're playing Roxy Hart on the road coming here to Austin. I can't imagine anybody doesn't know about the show, but if I don't know about the show, what's the show?
Mm-hmm. So Chicago is about Roxy who goes through this murder trial. She murders her lover, and she has to learn the ropes of going through jail, and through that she meets all these other murderesses and what the process is to get out of jail. And it talks about corruption, and it talks about the justice system, and through all of that you also get a lot of great singing and a lot of great dancing.
Yeah, we get it's a fun show. It's one of my favorites.
It is one of my favorites too.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it many times. And you know, we were talking before you came on about just the overuse of the word iconic in a lot of, you know, in a lot of things. I think we overuse that word. Mm-hmm. But the role of Roxy Hart
is iconic.
Truly is iconic, and that's got to be quite daunting to step into. A role that has been played by so many different actors in so many different ways. How's it been feeling for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, when I first received the role, I mean, I was in pure shock. And then also that feeling later on of a little bit fearful of how am I going to find my own Roxy Hart, because it's been played by so many celebrities. It's played by some of my biggest inspirations in the theater world, and with the help of the director Tanya Nardini and the choreographer Gary Crist, they really helped me in finding my own Roxy and bringing what Katie has to Roxy, and just staying very vulnerable and very authentic to myself.
Did they ever? I'm sorry.
It's just been, no,
keep going.
I was just going to say it's been an absolute dream to. Work on this role, and every night I feel like I'm still finding new things.
Oh, that's that makes it exciting.
That is exciting. Have they ever considered changing the name of the role from Roxy to Croxy for you?
No, not that. But,
right, you might want to make that suggestion.
Okay.
Well, it is a fun show. It's got a lot of numbers that people know. Even non-musically musical theater people would know it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the kind of show that non-musical theater people that, you know, don't necessarily go to a lot of musicals really would like this
one.
It
is one for everyone.
Yes.
And I also
I agree.
Yeah, I also think that the movie version is one of my favorite movie adaptations of a musical.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I firmly believe that I think Chicago is probably the best musical that is transferred from the stage to the film.
Well, great. So I'm curious as to how you, what, can you give us like just a little hint as to what makes your Roxy special to you?
Mm-hmm. So I've been on quite the journey with my Roxy. I feel like I've tried on a few different sides of Roxy. And at first I tried something that was a little bit funnier, a little bit character-y. And then I decided to pull that back a little bit more and really tap into the authentic side of her and the vulnerable side. And I think for her, I think a lot of people think of Roxy as like, yes, she wants to be the star, but for her, she also always has this fear of, but it may get taken away from me, because all of her life, she's always been told no, no, no. And so there's always this side of like, yes, she wants to be a star and she thinks she is a star, but then there's also that side of, well, maybe I'll lose it. And so I think playing with that vulnerability has been so much fun for me.
Really finding the humanity in the character. And I think that's it. You know, as a director, that's what I think is important for an actor to find is the truth mm-hmm. behind any character. And it's so easily to slide into caricature when that, I don't think, serves the piece at all.
Exactly. And then it's more relatable. And then the audience can relate to Roxy and be like, oh, I've had that too, where I think I have something, but then I also feel like I can lose it.
So, you know, we talk a lot. I talk a lot to especially younger people coming up and what's important as a up and coming theater professional. And I always talk about being a triple threat and how important that is. And this role in particular, that's so important because you've strong singing, strong dancing, strong acting. So I'm going to just make the assumption that you're a triple threat.
Well, I'd like to think of myself that way. I am very much a dancer at heart. I grew up dancing. I've been dancing since I was 4 years old. And then I started singing lessons in middle school, and I've always been acting through dance. But in college, I was able to hone all three skills a little bit more. But dancing is my first love.
Well, you get to use it in this one.
Oh, yes.
That's true. So you're coming here to Texas, to Austin. Have you been here before?
Mm-hmm. I've never been to Austin. I'm so excited. I'm particularly excited because I will be there on my birthday.
Happy birthday,
or yes, happy birthday.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire.
Well, that's exciting. And what are you looking forward to doing, seeing, or eating while you're here in Austin?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to all the food. One of my favorite things is to try out new restaurants, try out new coffee houses, and then just exploring around the city. And since we're there for a full week, mm-hmm. I'll be able to do a lot of sightseeing. So I'm really excited.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, that is great. We are looking forward to having you here. I don't know. Well, I'll just tell folks it plays at the Bath Concert Hall from November 1st through November 6th. And so my guess is that your birthday is
somewhere in there.
Yep, November 5th.
November 5th. Well, that's great. Well, we'll tell you in advance a happy birthday. But Katie, thank you so much for coming on our radio show Offstage
and
on the Air.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you both.
It's been great talking to you as well. Best of good fortune as you come here. And I know that you will break many legs as you come in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, that was Katie Frieden of Broadway Across America's production of Chicago, playing Bath Concert Hall November 1st through 6th. For more information, austin.broadway.com. And of course, we'd have to play Roxy
Yes.
From Here It Is. That wasn't it.
I was like, well, that's not Roxy, unless it's some disco techno version.
It might have been. It might have been disco texo. Anyway, Here It Is.
The name on everybody's lips is gonna be
Roxy.
Yeah. The lady Reagan.
The name on everybody's lips.
That's such a great number.
It is.
It's gonna be Roxy.
It is good.
I love that musical. I really do.
I do as well. I'm trying to think if I saw the first version. I don't think I did.
My mom did. My grandmother did. They were telling me all. They've told me all about it a few times. So, and then I got to hear, after Angela Lansbury passing, I did get to hear from my mother and my grandmother all the things they saw Angela in too, which was like.
Was she in Chicago?
No, she was. Oh. No, but, you know. Well, Jerry and her have that connection to Beauty and the Beast, and I have the Jerry connection with Chicago, which made me think of her with Mame.
Okay. Thank you for letting us know how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
You just looked at me like it was random, and it wasn't that random.
I know. I know you well enough to know that there's some kind of connection that may not be clear to me or anybody else,
but it works
absolutely
for me.
Clear to you. There was something I was going to say. Oh, so for our listeners that aren't aware of the history of Chicago, I don't remember the dates, but it opened in like the early 90s, I think, on Broadway and did not do well at all.
90s? No. It was 80s? Way earlier than that.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, at some point.
Yeah, it might have been the 70s, Lisa.
And I don't think it was the 70s. You could always look it up. But then it was picked up by Encores, Lincoln City Center Encores, which was known for doing...
Yes, and it starred one... And ranking.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Beating
that we just heard.
Joel Grey.
Okay. I thought you were giving us an answer. Anyway, and so that version that opened at Encores transferred to Broadway.
75.
Wow. And has been playing ever since. It's the longest running musical ever.
Yes. And before they moved the theaters, it was in the Schubert that we talk about, that great theater that we love, the Schubert.
There you go.
I saw it multiple times in that revival with Joel and BB and Anne, and I got to meet BB and Joel.
That's good. And yeah. She's talking about BB Newworth and Joel Grey.
It was very exciting.
So I'm not on first name basis with them. So,
well, I said their full names a minute ago.
Anyway, so that's good. So anyway, that is playing next week, I believe.
November 1st through 6th.
Through 6th, austin.broadway.com. Other things locally, I wanted to just call attention. We had them as guests on our show last week. Glass Half Full's Yamul Kukui. I've had a chance to see bits and pieces of it. I haven't sat through the whole thing yet.
Have you sat through the whole thing yet?
Not the whole thing. I think I'm going to do that tomorrow night. But it is... It is brilliant. I mean, the whole...
Carolyn always does some
Carolyn
crazy, amazing stuff.
And Glass Half Full does amazing things. And their work through puppetry, but she had mentioned that the whole set is puppets. And to see what she means by that is pretty amazing.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, and we were both perplexed. And now you've gotten a little inside sneak peek of that, huh?
Yeah. And it's scary, which doesn't make me happy. I don't like scary things.
No. Oh.
But it is very Halloween-y. Kukui is a devil.
Yeah.
So it's scary.
About creepy instead of scary.
Well, one meaning me, might use those two words as the
together
same thing,
okay
yes. Anyway, so that's still playing through two more weekends to see Glass Half Full's Yamul Kukui, and I believe the web address is glasshalffull.com. Other things playing, and if I didn't say it, it plays through the 5th of November. Last chance to see Rosita y Conchita at Scottish Rite. It closes on the 30th. And then at UT, we had them on our guest last week in Sisters We Trust, or my blanked up American Doll play is playing at the UT School of Theater
it
and
looks
Dance.
So, I mean, having the mom is so fun, but it even looks so wackadoodle watching it too. It's just everything about it I love.
Yep. You got to the 29th to see that. Costa at Salvage Vanguard at the Blanton that we just talked about is there to the 30th. ACC is still playing Fade through the 30th. And I did want to retell people, they were guests on our show last week. Tonight, it's a one-time reading of Sarah Saltwick's The Caldera.
Yes.
At Ground Floor Theater. And you can get information for that at groundfloortheater.org. org/box to get tickets for that. It's your chance to see something that's a work in progress.
And watch, and being able to watch the progression is what's even cooler.
Which makes
about
it's cool. Yeah. And the public is invited to this. Sarah Saltwick is the playwright. It is directed by Alexandra Basquiat.
No. Slipping my
Shaw.
Boy, that was pretty quick.
And a cast of three, and I saw a reading of it, and it's really fun. So get information at groundfloortheater.org/box to get information and come and see that tonight. I believe it's an 8 o'clock curtain. That would be groovy. The other thing I want to talk about, and of course I don't have, I didn't pull up any websites on this. I probably should have.
Would you like me to?
No. The B. Iden Payne Awards ceremony was last Monday night, and I would say the quality of this year's nominees were up there.
Yes, and there was some, it was hard picks on some of those because they were good stuff.
Yep. The best musical was In the Heights by Summer Stock Austin. Mm-hmm. They ran away with several awards for different things, and especially the youth actors. And to just watch when Ginger Morris would get up there and...
I love me some Ginger.
Yeah, of course, me too. Just so much heart and love goes into those shows, and I'm so very happy for them as they move forward. Jarrett Productions... ran away with the digital programming.
They were like digital everywhere.
From the production
to the people too, like mm-hmm. the Amber Quick, like yeah, that was all over the place.
Yep, lots of those. The best comedy was, I'm going by my memory at this point. I don't remember
that one either.
But the outstanding drama, I do remember because it took place at Ground Floor Theater.
Ground Floor got a good amount.
We did pretty well. Anna in the Tropics mm-hmm. Took away a lot of awards, especially I just want to call out the Scenic Award because that set was really very, very beautiful. Many of the actors were up for awards competing against each other for that.
What did you ask about comedy?
Ben Bazan and Tony Knight took those awards for Best Actor in a
drama.
I was talking about Best Comedy, yes.
That was, I think it was Blurred Ballerina, Tales of a Blurred Ballerina.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Valenicia Tolbert, Florinda Bryant took a lot of awards for Blurred Ballerina that... played at the Vortex both in earlier in last year, I think, as a workshop, and then this year as a full production. And Val worked really, really hard as an autobiographical piece. So the award ceremony itself was really fun. We had performances from Lardo Weeping, the opera company, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, also, I think it was a Hideout, maybe. I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, because I'm working without a net here. Did a piece from The Sound of Made Up Music. So they did an improvised musical, which is always fun.
I was like, that's always fun.
That's
always what you call a good time.
And so I know that, speaking locally, the Austin Playhouse just announced their cast of the one-act version of The Play That Goes Wrong.
Yes.
And that cast looks like a lot of fun. The only one I can... Well, I
was like, you're Ben Bazan.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, Ben Bazan is in Costa.
Oh, he...
Speaking of that.
How is he everywhere?
Yes, he is everywhere. He's like Savoir Faire.
Yeah, that Play That Goes Wrong cast, I was like, oh, that's a little cast. Let's see. Ben Bazan, Liz Beckham, Chase Brewer, Sarah Chong Harmer, Huck Huckabee, Toby Miner, Scott Shipman, and Owen Ziegler.
Yep. Toby Miner got a
Tony Miner one, too.
Won
yes,
an award for Best Fight Choreography. Yep.
Directed by the Ben Wolfe.
And it's directed by Ben Wolfe.
Yeah.
Exactamundo. So for more information about that, austinplayhouse.com.
Yes.
So let's do Today in Theater History, shall we?
Today in Theater History.
History and today.
Happened.
So the last ship, Remember that?
That Sting?
That Sting musical?
That Sting
musical?
Didn't
do very well, I don't think. But it opened
Didn't he do it for a while, too, right? Wasn't Sting in it for a while? I think he was.
2014.
It seems like it was 40 years ago.
I know. The Full Monty opened in...
Oh, and you know who I saw in that?
Who?
Besides Patrick, what's his name, was Andre DeShields.
Oh, there you go.
I saw his Full Monty.
There you go. And then if you don't know what that means, Google the show. You'll figure it out. And then M. Butterfly opened in 2007.
Oh, I forgot about that, too. Yep.
Going back to 1955, Chalk Garden opened.
Why do I feel like I should know the Chalk Garden?
Because it's been around forever. It's a classic. I forgot who wrote it. Hmm. And then in 1931, Morning Becomes Electra.
I don't know, but I want to star in that. Morning Becomes Electra? That sounds exciting.
Hey, yeah. It's another classic. I want to say it's Eugene O'Neill, but I don't... Oh, it is Eugene
O'Neill.
Oh,
it is? Yes. Interesting.
Birthdays. We have Robert Westernberg and Rondi Reed. I don't know either of those people.
Fun names to say.
But one person I do know is Rita Wilson.
Oh!
Actually, I think we can find out how old she is because I think we have a date. Oh, no, it does. They don't give dates. Probably smart. Other birthdays are Anthony Rapp and Will Swenson.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the wrench, you pulled the Anthony Rapp out.
There you go. So let's take a little break and we'll listen to Life with Harold from the Full Monty.
I love it. Great choice.
There it is. We'll be right back.
You gotta love that man.
It's a fun show, The Full Monty. I mean,
never saw it. I didn't say it was just at TechStarts, and I didn't get to see it.
Did you ever? And Quincy Kirkendall and a whole bunch of goodies were in that. Did you ever see the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a good job putting it onto stage because at first you're like, why? And it's fun. It's just a fun time.
Well, I will see it at one point.
At one point, you shall.
Well, we have done it, you and me, another week, and you're not with us next week.
No, I have to go to a memorial next week.
I'm so sorry. Are you going back up to New York?
No, it's in Houston.
Okay. That's close to New York.
Family friend. He's originally from New York, and know him from Jersey and New York, and just grew up with my parents. He's known me my whole life, so.
Well, that's good. I feel like I've known you your whole life.
Yeah, it's a little sad. It's very sad. I'm not going to say it's a little sad, but love the theater. Big supporter of the arts. Big supporter in Houston. That was his jam. He was a big supporter of theater, ballet, and the Holocaust Museum.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. And we got coming up after us is Austin Common Radio Hour with the incomparable John Hoffner, who's sitting here in the
room.
John
is here today.
John, did you want to say anything about what's happening?
About what's happening.
What's
yeah,
happening
I'd
on
love
your
to
show?
Talk about what's happening about
now
the
you're
show,
making me
yeah.
Think of that show back in the day.
Otherwise, not just whatever's happening. Yeah, we have a great show today. We have the mayor candidates today. So this is really cool. We got the
Do you have all of them?
Yeah, I was about to say, do you have all of them?
All but one.
Oh, so, good for you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's Amy did a great job, so stay tuned for that.
Wonderful. On a similar note, which I didn't say here, I'm wearing 3 I voted stickers.
Oh, I made the comment earlier.
So I wanted to remind people because we talked about this last week. It is your duty to vote.
It is.
Only you can help us get the city, the state, and this country where you want it. So please use your voice and vote. It is not wasted.
And early voting now is open now through November 4th.
Yep.
And if you miss that, you got November 8th, the day, the voting day.
And kids, I went on a website. It told me how long the wait was at each polling station.
Isn't that crazy?
And I went to one that had zero wait. I walked in, I voted, I was out in 5 minutes. So please vote.
Good.
Indeedy. And you might get that cool new blue bonnet voted sticker.
You might get that blue bonnet voted sticker that I'm wearing right now.
Well, yes, everybody vote.
So that's it, Nicole. Next week we'll have another show, but it won't be as good without you.
I'm sorry, I will miss it, but I have to go pay my respects to a nice, fabulous gentleman.
It's quite all right. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And we're going to go out with a brand new, it's just out. And I, actually, I did the Wikipedia. It's a show called My Son's a Queer.
The stage is set for me. I have got a show for you to see. It's really great. It isn't straight, because it is all about, well, kind of me. I'm so chuffed to be here with you all, even though the stage is sort of small. Don't make it work.